Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
We are back! How about that? Patriots, all the way back.
All the way back. Well,
one week after everyone's freaking out.
Close to all the way back, at least. We'll see.
Dude, 38-7 spells all the way back.
Right?
Yeah. We are here with the Patriots podcast, week 5 episode. My name is Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
And we are here to gloat, I think.
A little bit.
We've been hand-wringing for a few weeks now, and now it feels pretty good. I don't know about you.
Feels pretty good. Feels pretty fucking good.
Yeah, happy about it.
They definitely, I don't know if they heard everybody or what, but they clearly knew and answered the bell because, you know, it was pretty much, it was almost as close as you get to a shutout, 38-7. That 7 came with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
With Osweiler quarterback.
I didn't even know they made the change. I was like, oh my God, is that Osweiler? Mm-hmm. So, pretty damn good day for the Patriots all around. Obviously, they're still building, but for a week 4 win, I mean, I'll start with the defense. I mean, for the defense to do what they did and play the way they did, I mean, that's one of the best offensive or defensive performances I can remember in the past season. All of last season.
Completely dominant.
Completely dominant.
And came out of nowhere after we made Blake Bortles look like an all-pro and the Lions look unstoppable. Tannehill goes for 100 yards. Interception. Fumble. The fumble was the center's fault, but sacked a couple times. They couldn't run the ball. I mean, it helps when you're up 24-0 at halftime. You're not going to be able to run the ball at all. But
up to that point.
Up to that point, they weren't doing anything out there.
Couldn't do anything.
Kenyon Drake, 3 carries for 3 yards. I thought he was a good player.
Yeah.
He tore us up last year. Tore us up.
Frank Gore at 11 for 41.
A lot of that was
subpar. I know that was late when they just really were like, all right, we're done. We got to kill some clock here to get the hell out of here.
Defensively was overwhelming. At the beginning of the game, here are their first possessions. They received, the Dolphins did, punt, mm-hmm. punt, 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 fumble, punt, end of the half, punt, interception, punt, touchdown. Those are their possessions.
Yeah, literally. They didn't convert a third down until their last drive, which we've been giving up third downs like it's been our business. Even by the end of the game, I think it was less than 200 yards of offense.
It was combined, just annihilation.
Which is insane. Line of scrimmage from last week to this week, completely different.
That's what boggles my mind. How are our defensive tackles turning it around like that?
I know. It's like they showed up. It's like they didn't show up and they didn't even get on the plane to Detroit. And now they looked great. I mean, we saw a lot more of Danny Shelton and Lawrence Guy together.
With
Malcolm Brown coming in, which is fine. I mean, if they can play like that, they were blowing up the line of scrimmage. Trey Flowers obviously made a huge impact on that defensive line. It's tough to say it was all him because he's just one position, but that made a huge difference. Claiborne showed up better. Wise was there. You know, they were just making plays. Noy looked really good off the edge.
I like him on the edge. That's where he belongs.
I think he looks a lot better there, and I think a lot of people agree with you, too. I've been hearing that.
Yeah, a Hightower kind of as well. Plays best off the edge.
Yeah.
It's almost like our best defensive lineup is 3 down linemen with Hightower and Van Noy stand-up edge players.
Yeah, but we don't have the linebackers to do that, unfortunately.
We don't have – yeah, what you need is a ball-hawking middle linebacker. We don't have one of those guys.
Right. I mean, Hightower looked – kind of like his old self. He was flying around. He was definitely faster.
I don't know. He had that. Remember the big celebration he had? He had a tackle on a run play where he made a good play. He squared him up. He put him on his back, and then he did like this big celebration and was like, "I'm back. I'm still here."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Eh, that was okay. It wasn't that nice."
Well, he wasn't. I mean, we didn't see any plays where he was chasing people and just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I wonder how much difference does Trey Flowers make?
I don't know, man.
It can't be this much, but the Dolphins are definitely the worst offense of those three, of the last 3 games we've played.
Mm-hmm. They've been pretty good, though. Statistically, this year, they've been good.
Yeah, the biggest surprise I have with the way the defense was able to handle it. They have a ton of speed, and we just shut it down. Kenny Stills, Kenny Drake, I mentioned before, who really didn't get much of a shot. Jakeem Grant can fly. Albert Wilson's a real tough player after the catch. Nobody made it. Nobody. I was watching Danny Amendola. He still runs great routes. Runs terrific routes. He runs triple moves that are normally just a slant. He'll run a triple move on a slant.
Yeah.
It's great. But they were able to cover him. Like, even our coverage guys were playing that much better.
They looked, it's like all of a sudden they were covering people. We were getting cover. We got a coverage sack. We're getting coverage throwaways.
Do you see what Belichick said after the game? He said, you guys won the week. He didn't say you won the game. He's like, you put the work in all week. You won the week. And if that message gets home, that's how you have to do it, they have the talent to win the AFC. Easy.
Oh, my God. The way everybody else is playing? No, absolutely.
Except for them Chiefs. Those Chiefs do not play defense.
They look really good, but they don't play defense. Yeah. It's a shootout game. If our defense play like they do, geez.
Thinking back over this game, the Patriots and Dolphins, the defense was great wire to wire. Mm-hmm. The offense needed some time to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
We had a long drive early. We weren't able to punch it in. Ended up with a field goal, and then after that, Brady throws that interception on that coverage that baffled him. I don't even know. I don't remember ever seeing that coverage. I suppose I have, but when he followed, I think Gronk, he followed somebody up the slot. And then the defender completely just dropped off and stopped in like a little curl zone there. And Brady just threw the ball right at him to a crosser. And he totally didn't expect it. It was an unusual coverage and worked out great to their advantage. Brady said it was the first time he's seen the Dolphins do that in 10 years.
Wow.
He's been playing the Dolphins for almost twice that amount of time.
Yeah. Right. It's pretty crazy.
So he throws that interception and then... our next time up, we're able to get a touchdown on that big play to Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yep.
And so that kind of got things going, but we punted the next possession, and then we got that fumbled snap.
The gift. That's happened to us.
Handed off to James White up the middle. That usually works out, right? This time it does. 22-yard touchdown. I think he broke Robert Quinn's groin. Did you see him on that highlight?
Oh, my God, he did a split.
How did they not? I was waiting for the announcers to point it out.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything about it.
That was the first thing I noticed outside of the touchdown. I was like, oh, my God, that guy just did a split.
Yeah, exactly.
My brother was like, what do you mean? I was like, watch. He was like, oh, my God.
I'm surprised his pants were intact.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was a slow start. I mean, they only scored 3 in the first quarter, and then the second quarter they scored 21.
Yeah, exactly. It was the Cordarrelle Patterson touchdown. James White touched 15-play touchdown drive at the end of half, come right out with a touchdown pretty early in the third quarter also. Mm-hmm. It was gone. When you take 24-0 into halftime, it's over.
It's cool, pretty, I mean, depending on the team, but yeah. Unless you're the Patriots.
Yeah, or the Saints.
Or the Saints, maybe the Chiefs at the moment.
Yeah. Hey, the Packers were pretty close, actually.
Packers. I mean, James White, we were talking about last week, is where was he? And this week they decided to go to him. He had 8 carries for 44 yards, averaged 5.5 a carry. And he had 8 receptions for 68 yards and a TD as well. That's pretty fucking solid numbers.
That's perfect.
Led the team in receptions. Sony Michel had...
And targets.
Yep, and targets. Sony Michel kind of had a little coming out party. 25 carries on 112 for 4.5 yards and a touchdown.
Could you give him his due?
Pretty much. Well, on the flip side of it, it was really the offensive line that had the day. They were hossing people.
Throwing people around, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Sony Michel had a good game. He was breaking some tackles, but some of those hole, like his touchdown run, that hole was just, it was a tunnel.
Oh, yeah, you
could tunnel to the end zone. So, I mean.
The thing is, he finally looked comfortable.
He finally looked comfortable.
He shook somebody out of their shoes on one of those runs.
And yeah.
Like, oh, fine. It just seemed like he didn't think that he could play at
that anymore.
Yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And now
he's like,
so
that
he got
college.
That.
I'm in a different level here. I'm not allowed to run over or juke people. You're an elite athlete.
Yeah.
You can still do that.
These guys are all big and fast, but so are you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I still think, I mean, it was a 100-yard game is great for a rookie, and I think there's still room for him to grow, definitely. But it was definitely nice to see that he can do that.
He's getting more comfortable. He'll probably get healthier coming back from that knee procedure this summer. And then having a guy that can tote the ball 25 times like that
is nice.
Is real nice, and especially in a blowout when you don't have to lean on Brady's arm. You can finally give him a rest.
Yeah, exactly.
When you can continue to move the chains. They had 26 first downs. They ran 75 offensive plays.
It was unbelievable. I mean, yeah. Once again, like you said about the defensive line, the offensive line, like, how did they do this from a week ago? This is a much better defensive line than the Detroit. Well, or at least what we saw against Detroit. Now, yeah, there was one or two starters who weren't playing on the interior, but they still had Robert Quinn. They still had, Wake on the outside, who always gives us trouble. Brady got touched a little bit, but he had a lot of time, and he had a great day, too. 23 for 35, 274 yards, three TDs. He did have the two interceptions, but one of that touchdown to James White, where he just got smacked, and he just kind of lofted it up.
Oh, my God, that throw was incredible.
Perfect to wide open James White. It's like, how in God's name did he do that?
He threw it like 3 seconds early.
Yeah, and he floated it too.
Yeah, James White wasn't even in the end zone yet. Certainly hadn't taken his break.
No,
and he just drops. He knows it's gonna go right over there.
Yeah, Brady, and even Brady said that, he goes, "Oh, I didn't see James. I knew he was supposed to be there." It's like, oh my, and like the fact that that's kind of scary. But the fact that it worked out like that. No defender was even in the area.
Yeah, he trusts certain people. James White's one of those people.
That's the thing.
The touchdown catch Philip Dorsett made was outstanding.
Real nice. Real nice.
That was so nice. He did a complete flip and caught it with his hands perfectly.
Overall, he had a decent game. He had four receptions, 55 yards, and that touchdown catch. Played well.
He played well. He had a big third down catch on the right sideline. I think it was like 3rd and 11. It was a long play.
Brady's growing. He's growing trust with Brady, which is good.
How about the deep ball that Brady dropped right onto his chest? And
that was arguably Brady's best throw of the year, and he just dropped it.
I know.
I mean, the defender could have made a play. Yeah, the defender could have made a play where maybe he knocked it out of his hands, but Dorsett didn't even really catch it. He could have caught it at least. And then, okay, defender makes a play on that, fine. But he didn't, and so that kind of knocks him a little bit, but it was nice to see that he still got it and last week didn't get in his head to the point where he was going to fall off a cliff, because that's what it kind of looked like last week. It was like, well, this KKK, I don't even play football.
Right, and, yeah. You could get Dwayne Allen syndrome where it's just, yeah. I can't catch a thing. Dwayne Allen, one catch in this game, went backwards.
Yeah, guy just really, you know, at least he blocked a little better this game. You mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson, his what he did, he had that big play, the 55-yarder. Then he also had another play where he caught it in the backfield and tripped over himself again.
I know.
It's like, dude, what are you doing? You make people miss, like, no tomorrow, but you trip over yourself? Like, that play in the open field, he caught that 55-yarder, and there was a guy right in front of him. Now, normally when you see a receiver make that, it's like, he might make a miss, but there's a chance he gets tackled. That guy had no chance. Patterson knew it, and he was like, no. And, like, that's what you need, Cordarrelle Patterson. That's what he brings. Just like, oh, I'm in the open field? You have no fucking chance.
Yeah, this game got me thinking about there's, like, two type of elusive players. There's players that are elusive with the ball in their hands, and there's players that are, like, uncoverable with the ball out of their hands.
Right.
And some people fall into both categories, like people like Le'Veon Bell or even Julian Edelman's kind of that way, that even with the ball in his hands, he's still elusive. Danny Amendola can't stay near him when he doesn't have the ball. As soon as he has the ball, you could tackle him with one hand, it seems like.
Yeah.
It's like he can't run away from you at all.
Right.
Whereas Cordarrelle Patterson is the opposite. If he doesn't have the ball, you could just be glued to his hip. Easy. No issue.
Right.
But put the ball in his hands, give him a little bit of a head of steam, and he's almost untouchable. You need a whole team to tackle.
Right. And it's crazy.
It's so bizarre that there would just be that complete dichotomy. But yeah, Patterson's continuing to be a valuable part of the offense and just kind of in gimmick stuff.
It's almost like gimmick. We'll see. See what that progresses into.
I know. It's some of the people we're talking about, because Julian Edelman comes back for this week.
Well, before we even get into him.
Oh, dear.
Josh Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Josh Gordon made some nice catches.
Josh Gordon, 2 for 32, caused the pass interference, which might have been questionable, but I'll take it. Looked good out there.
He looked fine. His first catch was perfect because it was in traffic, slant pass, exactly what you wanted.
All I need. All I asked for.
And he had good, strong catch. Broke a tackle, got down inside the 5-yard line. It's just like, oh, Brady can throw it to you.
Yep.
It's just a little confidence builder. And he wasn't a crazy impact player. He didn't play a ton of snaps, not even close to how many snaps Chris Hogan was playing. But
yeah.
He's out there. He's getting healthy. He's getting accustomed. He's getting comfortable with Brady.
I like it. I like what I see going forward. I think he could definitely be pretty impressive. It'll be pretty fucking cool. What do you think about Chris Hogan? What do you think's going on there?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Do you think Brady's lost his, he's lost Brady's trust? Do you think he's lost a step? I mean, I don't neither the offense is he's out there.
He totally could have lost a step. But and the reason he would be out there is that he's the only one that knows the offense. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson is a lot of things, but a playbook worm is not one of them.
Right.
Josh Gordon's brand new. Philip Dorsett probably knows things, but Chris Hogan's clearly the elder statesman. He's the one that knows what to do, and he's valuable run block. They like what he does blocking.
Well, the thing that's funny about that is our system is based on, okay, you see a certain defense, you make a certain move, which if that's true, you have to get open at some point. Mm-hmm. He's not being doubled. And he's no Julian Edelman, but like the way Julian gets open is because he finds that soft spot of the defense and he goes there. And Brady sees the same thing and throws it to him. It's like he can't see anything.
Yeah, I don't have a strong feeling. He's always been a streaky player.
Mm.
That's for sure. He'll have a 100-yard game with two touchdowns, and he'll do that 2 out of 3 weeks, and then you won't hear from him for a month.
Right.
And maybe he's banged up. Maybe he's just getting more attention than he's used to.
Mm-hmm.
Could be anything, but there's a reason that he's playing 90% of the snaps. And it's not because Belichick thinks he sucks now.
Yeah, right.
He's playing that much because he's valuable. And what I was starting to say about Edelman coming back is he's going to take snaps from, and it's like, where are those snaps going to come from? Some of them are going to come from Hogan, but probably not as many as people think.
I don't know, man.
Because at the same time, Josh Gordon needs snaps. He's only playing like.
Oh, you mean Gordon's going to take his snap?
I think Gordon's going to take more of Chris Hogan's snaps, and Edelman's going to cut into Dorsett's. It's just everyone's going to meet closer to the middle, but and Edelman's not 100% snap guy.
They take him
out. They're going to give him spells. He's coming back from an ACL. No, they're going to give him big time spells.
I mean,
70% maybe, and Hogan probably around the same thing, and then Dorsett and Gordon closer to 50.
I don't know, man. I think once we start rounding, if they start winning and we're going to start rounding week 10, I think it's going to pretty much boil its way down to primarily Edelman and Gordon bearing injury, with Hogan and Dorsett spelling them and Patterson coming in as a gadget guy.
Yeah, Patterson will continue to get 20% of the snaps, 15%, something like that.
I think Hogan's going to really be in there too.
You think he's going to be that low?
I think it's going to be him and Dorsett splitting it, and they might even lean towards Dorsett if Hogan can't open it up.
But Hogan, they like him in the running game. I don't think that should be overshadowed.
That's true.
Philip Dorsett's not blocking anybody.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah,
fair point. So at least in receiving.
Sure. Yeah.
In terms of receiving,
third downs, whatever it is, passing situation.
Like, I don't think they're going to bring him. I mean, I don't know. He's so far down on the depth chart. Now it's funny because, you know, last week when we brought Josh Gordon in, we didn't really hear much. Belichick was very mum and hush about the situation. Then we play, or he finally plays now, and we hear some of the opinions on these, more opinions, you know, especially from Brady. And Brady sounded a lot more excited about it after the game.
Well, yeah, they hadn't played with him.
So, I know, but it's just now you're seeing, oh, okay, he does, and they put it through his locker right next to Tom, of course.
Yep.
You know, I can just see, and, you know, Gordon saying, I understand what the situation means, and I'm going to make the most of it, meaning, okay, he does realize if he's going to make it, this is the place to do it, and he can make a lot of money if he just keeps it together for 9 months.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
Well, they have him for a restricted year, so it might even be a year and a half.
Sure, whatever the time frame is. But if he lasts, at least if he lasts the season, he's going to make a decent amount of cash anyways, even if he's restricted or not.
Yeah, and this is a guy who's never really made money because he was on a rookie deal. He just got off a rookie deal.
Right. So, and if that continues, and I mean, it's not like he was burning people away, but he was definitely getting separation, for sure. From what I saw when I was just watching him on the sidelines and stuff. And even if he doesn't, he could, as we've talked about, he's got the athletic ability to out-muscle, out-jump, get the ball from people.
Yeah.
And if that comes to fruition, oh boy.
Think about where we're at versus 3 weeks ago when we're like, how do we have we have too many snaps for receivers. We don't have enough players.
Yeah, right.
We got Cordarrelle Patterson playing more than half the snaps. And now we're like, I don't know if there's enough snaps to go around. Just like there's that. We got
much
Gordon,
better.
Edelman. You got a receiver group that you feel semi-comfortable four deep.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a much better position to be in. And if the offensive line can continue to play the way they did last weekend, holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
How did they turn it around? Like, how about that play? Sony Michel had a sweep to the left, and there were like three or four penalties on the offense.
Yeah.
It's like every lineman was cheating.
Every lineman held or tripped or
yeah, they got shacked for a trip.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But
perfect. There was one play. I don't remember what it was, but who it was. One of the offensive players got tackled, and there was a little bit of a pile. Not really. But David Andrews came over and just cleaned the guy right off the top.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what we need to do.
That's what we've been missing.
Logan Mankins used to do. We mm-hmm. need at least one lineman that's just going to clean people out.
Well, and Edelman brings a bit of that flair back too.
For sure.
Which will definitely help the offense. So, however it looks, Edelman is definitely, even if he's not 100% himself, I mean, he's a 32-year-old receiver coming off of an ACL injury. That's tough. The guy hasn't played in over a year. That's not easy to come back from, but even if he's 60, 70, 80% of his old self.
At least initially. I expect there to be a warm-up period.
Yeah, that'll be huge.
Yeah, massive.
Huge.
And it's really helpful that he got to play in the preseason, too.
Mm-hmm.
He got his feet wet a little bit, saw where he's at, and I wonder what he's been doing for the last four. You think he's just been lifting? No, probably not. They frown on them for lifting, right? Too much?
Yeah,
that
probably
was in that Tom versus Time documentary.
Yeah, I don't know, just quick shit, quick agility stuff.
Yeah, but not getting hit. He's probably coming in fresh. Anyway, things are looking up. Patriots still behind the Dolphin in the AFC East. Oh, wait, no. No, we're tied. That's right.
Well, no, they have three wins.
That's right. They were 3-0. Yeah, yeah. So
we're
3-1,
we're 2-2, but that's not going to last.
Yeah, I don't expect that to last too much longer. Especially
and now we have a short week coming up. Going to the Colts coming to Foxborough,
yeah,
Gillette Stadium, after a ridiculous loss, and they have seven players already inactive.
They're so banged up, and they're big players too. It's T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Marlon Mack, their starting running back, Kenny Moore, starting cornerback. They're screwed.
Is Doyle their starting linebacker?
No, Jack Doyle's the tight end.
Apparently their starting linebacker, middle linebacker, rookie's been lighting it up. He's also inactive.
What's his name?
I'm not sure. You like that? You like the table there?
Way to build this guy up and then
Well, no, I don't even know much about him. My brother was basically saying he's already got 40 tackles. Edwin Jackson or Antonio Morrison? Let me see.
Yeah, things are really not looking good for the Colts. I was wondering about how the feelings in this game were going to be. I think one of the Colts players lost a sibling this week. I think somebody died very close to the Colts, and I was wondering, because sometimes that can make a team extra emotional for a game and really pick them up. You don't know. And then also with Josh McDaniels just stiff-arming them at the last minute and leaving them high and dry after a month of saying, yeah, I'm coming. I was wondering about that, bringing some extra emotion to the game. But with all of these players missing...
It's going
to
be tough.
On a short week, game on the road, coming off of an overtime loss... to a divisional opponent that you should have put away after, oh my God, did you see Frank Reich's decision in overtime?
Yeah, it was fourth and four or something, 30 or 45 seconds to a minute left on their own, what was it, 40?
On their own 40.
And they went for it.
Well, first of all, they put the punt team out there, and then they called two timeouts and still went for it. They did it twice.
The guy said he was going for it no matter what.
Why was the punt team on the field?
I don't know. Clearly, he didn't.
I might be misremembering that also. They might not have
so,
a punt team out there.
But any
they had so many chances to make the right decision,
yeah,
and they didn't.
They didn't. Then they gave up the field position because they didn't convert on fourth down. The Texans got one first down or one play and then kicked a field goal and won the game.
Yeah, it was easy. I think it was two plays.
Two plays.
They got DeAndre Hopkins down the
field. By the way, just an update. That guy's name is Darius Leonard. 54 combined tackles, 4 sacks, and a fumble. Already.
54 tackles in 4 games?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, the guy's been killing it.
Yeah, so I don't think he's playing either.
Wow. Yeah. So all of this adds up to, and this is not to mention that the Colts roster and coaching staff is outmatched, but all of those other factors, most notably the injuries, that's the big one.
Yeah.
They're really outclassed this week. I cannot imagine the Colts winning this game. Can't.
No.
There would have to be something catastrophic would have to happen.
It would have to look terrible.
So I feel pretty good about us getting to 3-2 this week. I don't even know how deep we have to go into this game. The Colts defense has speed. They have a lot of team speed on defense,
mm-hmm.
Which will limit certain things, but certainly not our power game. We seem to have the power game moving the ball.
I mean, their defense is less than mediocre in every stat. They're 25th overall in points, or I'm sorry, 18th overall in points at 25 point, giving up 25 points a game. They're giving up 377 yards total a game. That's 268 passing, 109 rushing, all ranked between 17th and 19th in the league.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And Andrew Luck is still rusty. He's still coming back. They were able to put up 34
points. He's playing
well,
though.
He's playing. Yeah, he's not playing badly.
No, he's playing.
He went for 404 TDs last week, but he's not take over the game by himself, no. Andrew Luck, right now.
Never mind without T.Y.
His top two targets are T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle, and then Eric Ebron has been coming out of nowhere. Eric Ebron's playing great this season. He's getting in the end zone all over the
place. Is he?
Yeah. So Eric Ebron's a consideration, but now he's their number one target. They're missing their starting running back.
Yeah.
This is a tough spot for Andrew Luck to be. Now, their offensive
starting running back and receiver.
Yeah. Their offensive line's pretty good. We all know Costanzo at left tackle. They used that top 10 pick on Quentin Nelson, guard out of Notre Dame, one of the best guard prospects of all time. And then you round it out with Ryan Kelly, Matt Slosson, Denzel Good. Slosson's a veteran.
Yep.
Fine up front. It's fine. I feel pretty damn good about our defense against their offense. Andrew Luck could play well, and keeping him in the pocket is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something we can do. We can keep them below 20, and there's no way that defense is keeping us below 20.
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, that guy Darius Leonard's playing well. They've also got Margus Hunt, 4 sacks. Good old Jabal Sheard is there. You know, they've got some people you'll recognize. But
Al
overall,
Woods. Oh, that nose tackle I wanted forever.
Al Woods is there now, huh?
I got Al Woods a second round grade in 2010. He went in like the sixth round. Ugh,
not that late, like that but guy. Yeah.
Got to feel pretty good about this matchup. I haven't seen much about him,
but they don't look good. They don't look good. They don't sound good. They have too many people hurt. They're coming off of after we just slaughtered a team and got our confidence back at home. Like you said, short week, which road teams, Thursday night football is usually a recipe for disaster, just looking back at the past years.
Yeah.
Most road teams coming in, most of the time lose. I don't know what the percentages are or anything like that, or the stats are exactly, but every time you watch Thursday night football, it seems like the away team kind of gets their ass kicked, unless one team's way better than the other.
Well, speaking of this, let's rewind to one of the best Thursday night football games of all time. One of the best games we've ever seen recently. Vikings and Rams on Thursday night last week.
I missed it.
Oh, my goodness. What a great game. If you like offense, they were on fire. Vikings weren't able to stick with them in the end. Rams were just offensively unstoppable, pushing the ball deep down the field. Jared Goff
had pinpoint
accuracy 40 yards plus down the field. And he's a guy that didn't come out with a big arm, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So accurate. Just dimes everywhere. He was mesmerizing. And the Vikings, seriously, the Vikings were holding up.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to the Vikings defense, but it doesn't look very good this season. But Kirk Cousins was able to keep them in it all the way to the fourth quarter. They had a chance at the end. So that was an incredible game. There were a lot of really close games this weekend. The Bengals pull it out real late to AJ Green in Atlanta. That Atlanta defense is just decimated with injuries.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to have a shot with that defense. The Buccaneers, similar issue with their defense. NFC South, nope. I don't even think they know that defense is a thing. They're just all about passing the ball.
Yeah.
The Bears put up 48 on the Buccaneers. The Bears.
Mitch Trubisky might have coming out.
No. I'm going to go with that's an aberration.
I would hope so. I couldn't believe how many touchdowns that guy was throwing.
Some of the other surprising ones, the Titans. Won in OT against the Eagles. but Titans were at home. Vrabel went for it on fourth down in overtime, was able to punch in a touchdown to win it, which is impressive. And then another overtime game, the Raiders, the Browns, they almost had it. They almost had it in overtime.
How about Mayfield? Nick Chubb?
Great.
Yeah, Nick, and Nick Chubb ran three times for 102 yards.
And he was the bruiser. Sony Michel was supposed to be the home run hitter. And they had reverse stat lines. Sony carried it 25 times for 100. Nick did in three.
Yeah. Who else? Let's see. Ravens, Steelers. That was a really good game. Ravens went up 14-0. Then Steelers matched it, and then the Ravens took off.
Yeah, they were pretty convincing. The Raiders are a good team.
Raiders.
I mean the Ravens. The Ravens. Ravens. Yeah, and they're,
well,
they're
Steelers just are now. Rounds. What are the Steelers? 1-2-1.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, but you don't have to start that great. 1-2-1. Le'Veon said he's coming back week 7.
Lost the tie to Ravens already though. That's a tough situation to be in.
Well, they've only played them once, right?
Still. So down one.
If you win,
worse schedule.
If you beat them next time.
It's the same situation as we were talking about if we lost to Miami.
What are you talking about?
Miami had, because if we lost to Miami, now we're down by 3 games. I guess Ravens are only 2-1. Not as big of a deal.
Ravens are 3-1. Yeah, so I suppose they are. They're down like 2.5 game, or a game and a half, whatever it is, because of the tie.
Okay.
But the Ravens are a playoff team. I don't see them not making the
playoffs. Yeah, no, I'm saying the Steelers might be in trouble. They might have to get a wild card, which has been a while since they've gotten that. And like you said, the last game is Chiefs Broncos. Pat Mahomes just showing he can
points
fucking
in the fourth quarter.
Play, dude. He can play football.
You just watching that game, you had the feeling you're watching the Broncos, and you're like, you guys are winning. Just don't give this up.
Yeah,
you're up in the fourth quarter. Come on,
keep doing it. Yeah,
yeah. And no, they couldn't get big time third downs. Pat Mahomes was on. They had a second and 30, and they didn't convert it on that, but they got 27 yards. Or 23 yards. 23 yards on second and 30. Von Miller's on the sideline screaming my head off. What the fuck is Von Miller? This is the last drive in the fourth quarter. Why is he not out there? How is your conditioning not there in September? The end of September. You should be peak condition right
now. Yep. All right. So for this upcoming week, we have the Patriots Colts. So what are you predicting?
I'm predicting a smash. I'm predicting 34 to 13. 34 to 10.
All right, I was going to go 31-10, so I'll keep it at that.
Smash.
31-10.
I see this playing out. The other, Miami is playing Cincinnati this weekend. Cincinnati might be a good team. I'm still not sure.
It's Marvin Lewis, though, so they can't go far. It's not going to happen.
I know.
They can't go far.
Yeah.
you got the Broncos or the Jets. Nothing great there. Packers, Lions, not bad.
I don't care. No? Packers are
I don't
that
mind
good.
That.
Packers are not play bad. Defense. They're offensively, it's just gimpy Aaron Rodgers. That's all they have offensively.
All right.
The team is so reliant on one player, and that player's in.
Yeah, that's true. Giants-Panthers, that's going to be a bloody game. Titans-Bills, no one cares. Falcons-Steelers, high-flying. I like it.
Falcons-Steelers, wow.
That's a great game. That's at least entertaining.
Is that over-under 80?
Yeah, I know,
I
right?
I can see it. I can totally see it. How about Minnesota going to Philly in a rematch NFC Championship?
Yeah, except Philly Minnesota's a shell of themselves right now.
They just took the Rams to the end of the game.
They don't have a defense.
They
should have a defense, but they don't have a defense.
You're right.
Their best defensive player just lost his mind. He's seeing things and God knows what. Their cornerbacks suck.
They have other players. Yeah, Terrence Newman retired, didn't he? So, yeah, that's over. No, their cornerbacks playing that well. Xavier Rhodes was getting flagged a decent amount against. Anthony Barr's a good player. Eric Kendrick's good. Linval Joseph is a hero in the middle there. It could happen. Philly really needs this win. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Philly's coming off a bad loss. They really haven't looked good so far this year. They're going to have to come out flying.
Arguably best game of the week, Jags-Chiefs.
Wow. Oh, my God. Strength on strength.
Yeah.
Do you know we're playing the Chiefs in 2 weeks? We have the best luck scheduling-wise. The Chiefs had to go on the road to Denver, then they get Jacksonville is at home this weekend.
Yep.
But we have the Thursday night game, so we get extra time, and then we host the Chiefs.
Yeah, pretty good.
Great for us.
But yeah, so
and
Jags
coming
Chiefs
off against playing the best defense.
Right. That's
so they're going to be kind of beat up.
Yeah, that's a great game right there. Raiders Chadges, some good old California football.
Nice.
Rams Seahawks, kind of intriguing. Not bad.
Don't care.
All right. Cards 49.
Seattle's no good.
They are no good.
They've lost everybody.
We didn't even talk about Earl Thomas flipping off the sideline.
Did they know that he was flipping off his sideline? It wasn't like a ref or a player or somebody in between.
Well, they looked at everybody on the field of view, and there was nobody there. There was no one there. It was the sideline. It was clear as day. He was pissed, and it makes sense because that's exactly what he kept saying. He's like, I want a contract. I don't want to go get hurt. Trade me to someone who will pay me. They wouldn't. Now he gets hurt. Now he gets exactly what he didn't want to happen happened.
Yeah, that's tough. And Le'Veon Bell's looking at that going, shit.
Well, he said he's returning week seven.
Seven, yeah.
See how that goes. Cards, 49ers, sucks.
Isn't that a great message to send to your teammates? Hey, I want to play with you guys, but yeah, I'm going to take the next month. Give me the next month, and then I'll be in there.
Exactly. Cowboys, Texans, Battle of Texas. The Cowboys suck.
We need I want the Texans to go on a run now. J.J. Watt's playing very, very well.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson just put up a big win on the road. I want them to turn it around. DeAndre Hopkins had like 160
yards. Big
win or
lucky win?
Oh, it was fortunate that they won it, but they played well enough for a tie, at least.
Yeah, okay. Skin Saints, Monday night. I like it.
I like it, too. That's a good one. Drew Brees is going to set the record for yards. I think both he and Brady are very close to 500 touchdown passes.
Both he and what?
Both he and Brady are really close to 500 touchdown passes.
Yeah, Brady's got like one more than him, and they're both like Brady's like five away, he's like six away or something.
Yeah, something like that. Drew Brees, quite the career. I have some thoughts about it. Just this week, I was watching it going, how is Drew Brees and Tom Brady had almost the exact same statistical career over the exact same amount of time? Brees was drafted in 01, was starting inside of 01.
Mm-hmm.
Brady drafted in 2000, started in 01. They both had almost the same clean bill of health.
Yep.
Outside of Brady's 1 year. And statistically, they're like right next to each other on everything, except for wins, except for team success. Like, how is this possible?
Yeah, Brady's so much farther. Brady is going to pass potentially pass Adam Vinatieri this season as the winningest player, not quarterback, player of all time.
Right, yeah, that list is, what is it, Adam Vinatieri, George Blanda, Tom Brady?
Did Brady pass Blanda? He's number two.
Oh, really? He passed?
Like, and you look at those guys, too, and it's like a kicker. I don't know, what is George Blanda, guard or something?
He was a linebacker, then a quarterback, then a kicker. Wait. Linebacker, kicker, quarterback, kicker.
All right, whatever. So God knows what that is. And then the other guys are just random people on that list. And nobody's a quarterback on that, at least like
gotta,
top 10.
You got to play 100,000 games.
Yeah, and the fact that Brady is going to be number one as a quarterback,
well,
the greatest player of all time.
Vinatieri's still playing.
He's on the Colts. How many games do you think they're going to win? Not many.
He could play forever, though.
That's true.
He's kicking in a dome inside of 50 yards. He could play forever. He's not even doing kickoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just doing... He's doing
under 50-yard field goals in between the hash marks in a dome. That's what he's doing.
And extra points.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But, yes, I know they play road games, okay? It should be a couple good games this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Especially, it's always nice when the Patriots don't play on a Sunday, and then you just feel you get that seven-hour window right in the middle of the day, and you're like, this is just great.
Yeah,
there's nothing to worry about. This is all fun and entertainment.
Yeah,
and especially early in the season like this, you're not worried about divisional jockeying or any playoff seeding, like playoff positioning. It's just good old fashioned. So that will do it for us. Thank you all for tuning in. Here's to the Patriots starting a winning streak. How about that? That'd be nice. 2018 winning streak. That'd be great.
Very nice.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. See you.
Adios.